Discern your spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You can be seated tonight. We want to just thank all of you for making your way out to the house of the Lord tonight. Those of you that are online, that are home watching with us, thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm going to finish up this series. How many have been blessed on favor? Understanding the purpose of favor. Amen. I'm going to go through a few moments of kind of regurgitating some things that we said, because I want them to really land in your spirit, man. I want you to really think about what you're being taught tonight, because these are principles that will unlock favor in your life. I don't know about you, but I could use some favor. And so, you know, it's so common to take favor as kind of this thing that God gives or bestows upon us that happens in spite of us. But favor does not happen in spite of you. It happens because of you. It's not grace. Favor and grace are two different things. Grace happens because of what he did. But favor is something that will only operate in your life as you follow the principles of favor. Favor has to be studied. You have to become a student of favor. And really hear me here tonight, because this will help you in your businesses. This will help you in your personal life, your relationships, all kinds of things. A lot of you have been in the room with greatness, but it never translated to anything other than that, simply because you didn't know the rules of the room. And it is important to understand, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, if you're a man given to appetite, to put a knife to your neck. And what he's saying there in this passage is that when you are sitting at the table with people who are rulers, people who are kings, people who have, and I'm not just talking about kingship as it relates to them all wearing crowns, but I'm talking about when you are in the room with people who do what you do better than you do, you need to learn how to listen. Quit talking so much. When you're in the room with people, if you want to take what you do to the next level, it is this thing that we favor has a spirit of discernment. It recognizes when it's not supposed to teach. If you're the teacher in every relationship you have, you're in trouble. You've went as far as you can go. If every person that you meet with, you find yourself being the instructor, something's wrong. It is imperative to discern when it is time for you to glean and listen and really absorb, soak like a sponge, soak in the wisdom, the principles, the mindset, the way that they're thinking. You know, all of us need a paradigm shift several times in our lives. And it is so imperative that when we are in the room with people that have more than what we do, everybody say, give me the spirit of shut up. Come on. We're just going to say it just like it is. Because I've often, and anybody ever been around somebody who they do not know how to just be quiet? Come on now. They don't know how to be quiet. They're uncomfortable with silence. Silence scares a lot of people because it leaves space to be able to discern. And a lot of people don't want you to discern them. We're uncomfortable with silence. But this is a principle that you have to get in order to really operate in favor. Now, God has put favor on your life. You're saying, well, Pastor Gil, do I got favor? Yeah, you got favor. Why is it not working? Because you don't understand it. You don't understand it. You have to understand. You have to become a student of this thing. There's principles. I'll start with this story before we get into scripture, because I want to go to Luke here for a second. But I've shared this before, I think probably a couple times. When I was a young, like probably 21, 22 years old preacher, I was preaching in Flint, and I got a call from Dick Rotiers, who pastors an inner city church. It was all homeless people as part of his church. And he says, why don't you come down to preach? And at the time, I needed some money, y'all. I was in debt. You know, I needed, you know, some dollars. But you ain't going to get an offering at a homeless church. And it's, you know, they're going to come up, you know, and they may look at you and do this, you know. So, you know, it's a homeless church. I mean, that's what they're there for. You know, that was his calling, his ministry. And so he would go into the inner city and preach. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to go down, I'm going to preach. Now, they didn't have any air conditioning. I remember this. You know, you don't forget when you're hot. That imprints. When you got sweat beads coming down, I was like, oh, my Lord. So I was preaching. I give them what God had given me. I preached like I was preaching in front of millions of people. I was just giving it everything I had. The end of that service, this man comes up to me and says, listen, God told me to meet your need. You have a need, and I want you to meet it. He pulls out a checkbook, and he says, what is your need? You know, and I'm young, and, you know, man, I wish I could have that moment again. But I said to him, I said $500 or something like that. You know, I needed way more than $500. I'm not even sure my license was good at that point. I needed money, and I was young and dumb and living so stupid. I mean, you know, I hope my bluntness doesn't offend you, but I was living with no responsibility. And we're going to get into that here tonight because we're going to understand favor. And so I just threw out, man, I said, 500, Tim. He said, are you sure? that you know, if they ever ask you, are you sure, next time, high roll them. Listen. And so I said, yeah. Are you sure? She said, okay, he wrote the check. He leave. Pastor Rotiers comes and said, man, what happened? I told him, he said, praise the Lord. Well, God bless. I said, no, man, I needed. He said, well, man, why didn't you ask him for whatever you need? I said, man, it's a homeless ministry, man. I feel crazy even having a conversation about money here. And he says, man, do you know who that guy is? And he goes to tell me, man, the guy owns half of downtown Flint. He's a multi-millionaire. By the time I got out to the front door, see him flying off in his whatever kind of European car that was. And I said, Pastor, you got his number? He said, yeah. So I called him. I said, hey, man, he said, no, man, God, I was obedient. He said, God told me to do what I did. I did what I did. And that's when I learned that favor is much more scary than poverty. When you come into contact with God's resources, it will scare you. Because what it will do is you'll start measuring your vision. You've been trying to get this vision off the ground. This vision you got in your head is this big. And God has called you to this. And he just gave me a glimpse of the resources. Just a glimpse of it. And I said, oh, my Lord. And I had to recognize, I was scared to say what I really needed. It was like fear paralyzed me. It paralyzed me from asking because I truly didn't believe God would supply all my needs. I really didn't believe it. I mean, you preach it and you say it and you sing it, but when you're, it's different when that little dude with that little bald spots there with that check, and he's looking at you and saying, God told me to meet the need, and I'm going, 500. Like, man. And I didn't even manage the 500. I think I went out and got some Jordans. Something I didn't need. And you know, that's the way we spend says something to God about how we value our future. This is why people don't like to talk about money. Why? Because you got to take a good, strong look at how you are managing the resources that God is entrusting you with. Because it has everything to do with how you see yourself in the future. Real quick, just go over to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Watch this. Correct your son. We're going to go to 17 here. I can't see it in the back, Tim. Light's in my way.
Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained.
I love the fact that you can't read the scripture about vision without correction being involved. Fresh word off of correction, then let's talk about vision. You know, but this is, look at this though. Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. Come here, Sydney. I need a cup. Someone told me a cup up here. We got a cup back there, Spike? Something. Everybody say this, where there's no vision, come on, where there's no vision, there's no restraint. This is a powerful passage. This is what is restraint? Restrictions, boundaries. This is important. Why? If God is trying to bless you, hold out your hand. If God's trying to bless him and he don't have any restraints, everything God pours dissipates. It's not that God didn't give, it's just that he didn't have an ability to keep. Why? Because there's no restraint. But if he'll go through a necessary season, and the next time God gives favor, now we can start talking about depth. Why? Because he has now created borders. The prayer of Jabez is very simple. Come on, somebody. He did. Listen, we're singing songs that are just unbiblical, you know. No limits. No boundaries. That's just not the gospel. That's just, that don't make no type of sense in the world. You need limits and boundaries, guys. You absolutely need limits and boundaries to function in purpose and vision. Come on, so the prayer of Jabez is enlarge my territory, not remove it. Enlarge my borders, not remove them. And so we have to understand that God is never going to take you to a place that he has not put a fence in place to keep you safe. Amen, somebody. I preached one time that, everybody say no is a complete sentence. You'll start using that word the more you understand vision. No will become one of your favorite words once you walk in purpose. Because listen, every time somebody's going to come to you, it don't matter what level you are, they're going to come and they're going to ask you for this. And it's not that we're not to be charitable and givers and those type of things, but you have to understand that if you say yes to them, you have to say no to something else you're obligated to. Just because I may have access to the funds you're asking doesn't mean that those funds are not already designated. Your lack of planning is not my emergency. It's not that we're not charitable. We give, right? We're givers. We love to give. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. It's awkward when you're just standing there for... you was doing it, though, man. So So everybody say, where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. Why do you think, especially in Detroit, the crime rate is so crazy in inner cities? Why? Because there's no vision. Why would they restrain themselves? They cannot see themselves in the future. So why restrain? Restraint comes from having a concept about what God is trying to do in your life in your tomorrow. I'm restraining myself so that this can become not just a dream, but a reality. This is a reality that has happened. See, favor has rules. Can you say that with me? Favor has rules. Now, I got into this 2 weeks ago. When we get this stuff posted, I need you to go back. This is one of those series that you want to keep listening to remind yourself of the rules of favor. Remember, I said that grace is unmerited, but favor is merited. You have to earn favor. You can have favor on your life and never operate in it if you don't understand it. So this is really important. Let's swing over here to Luke. I'm not going to be too long, but I want to get this to you. Go to Luke chapter 2. Amen. It's already been good. Luke chapter 2, we're gonna swing down to, let's go to verse 5. Let's go to verse 7. Now look at this. Now what did we read in chapter 1 a week ago? The Bible says that the angel showed up, Gabriel, showed up to Mary. He said, you are blessed and what? Highly favored. Why though? Because she was going to bear Christ Jesus, as they would call him, Emmanuel, God with us. She was going to be the one that would donate her womb to bring forth the dream of God in the earth. Okay? And so you are blessed and highly favored. Now you would think, if you do not understand favor, you'll miss a principle that we're about to read here that is very important as it relates to favor. And I'm trying to teach tonight because you can preach this thing, but you need to really sit up under a teaching on this so that it really lands where it's supposed to be. So as we get to this, look at here in verse 7. Let's read, Pastor Tim.
And she gave birth to her firstborn son.
Yep. Now everybody say favor. She gave birth. It takes favor to give birth. Come on, somebody. It takes favor to give birth. Some of y'all have been sitting on potential your whole life. It takes favor to give birth. The spot's not small beginnings. Some of you got big potential and never graduate to small beginnings. And never get to small beginnings. Small beginnings are good things. Amen. Because it takes favor to give birth. Listen, man, don't die with a concept. Don't die with a concept. Don't die with potential. My God, man, do it. If God spoke it to you, do it. I was earlier, we did, Shawnee and I, hey, man, y'all, listen, favor, y'all. We took some updated pictures, y'all. Listen. Y'all don't like that. You don't like my 23-year-old bald version where I'm looking? Looking like Fester. Listen, Devon keeps calling me Pastor Bubba Sparks. Tank, did you just amen to that? I thought I heard something back there. Amen. We just updated, and I was sitting there, and so... You know, how many are into comics? Come on now. How many are into comics? Matter of fact, we should all go see that Ant-Man 3 coming out. Let's make a big old church trip on it. Come on now. But so check this out. So We was sitting at the house, and I was talking with Aaron and Morgan. Aaron, what's your comic's name? What's that dude's name? Blue? Huh? Blue Boy. I know all of his powers. I know how he got his powers. I know his backstory. I know everything about this guy now because he sat in my living room and told me all the history on a comic, on a character that he has created, designed. If you've never seen him draw, the dude's bad. He's ridiculous with the drawing. And created all of this stuff. Now, this is what is beautiful because this thing existed in his head before it was ever what it is now. See, God will take you through a season to get what's in your head out. And what I'm trying to tell you, because listen, it takes favor to have a concept that is birthed by the Spirit, but it takes another level of favor to take it out of concept mode into have a small beginning. And that's why he said despise not small beginnings, because in concept mode, you're all dream. So it's huge to you. Boom. The world needs it in your concept mode. But when it manifests, it takes a while. You got to teach the world how to dream with you. You got to teach them how to dream with you. Because it's going to be small beginnings. It's really just small imaginations at first. So you got to teach them how to dream with you. And then they're going to begin to see what God is doing in you the same way that you've seen it when it was a concept. Woo! But, you know, David said in Psalms 82, he said that he was favored by the Lord. He said that you have given me favor so that I can worketh my hand. Then he said, yea, again, worketh my hand. In other words, people got an idea that favor comes so you don't have to work. Favor is favor is there so that you start to work. It worketh your hand. You have to do something. It is merit did. You can sit there with all the genius ideas in the world, and it doesn't matter if you can't get it out of your head. Dreams are not meant to stay dreams. Woo. Say it again, Jabin. Get it out. I was looking at somebody saying, get it out. Get it out of your head. Come on, somebody. The world is waiting on your genius. You have to understand. Do you think you're just coming up with this stuff just because you're so bright? Man, the Holy Spirit, this is why we call them dreams. Why? You can't dream unless you're sleeping. Why are dreams so powerful? Because it's the one place that you can't fight what God's trying to show you. Why? Because you're knocked out. So God has access to imprint into your thinking while you are in a sleep to show you what you would have never been concentrated on had you been awoke. Cool to dream, but sometimes you got to wake up and put your hand to a thing. The devil ain't against you. Your laziness is. Most people aren't lazy because they're afraid of work. Most people are lazy because they're afraid of failure. What does it say about me if this thing fails? What does it say about me if this thing doesn't get off the ground? What do I have? How do I got to see myself from here if they don't follow me, if they don't support me, if they're not there for me? What does it say? So we won't even try. We won't even try because we're so afraid of failure. And when you understand favor, you'll recognize it's married to failure. You can't operate in favor without going to failure. Come on now. Soon as God says you're highly favored, the first thing to happen is Mary gives birth to a son. Everybody say favor. And laid him in a manger. Say favor. But there was no room in the inn. She's got the king of the universe in her hands and they didn't have an extra room available. Favor. Everything was going good. The birth was good. Favor. The manger, wrapping them in the clothes was good. Favor. But now we need somewhere to sleep and get comfortable. God said no. Sent them to a room with the King of Kings, and God didn't even make it that there was an available room. Why would the Holy Spirit lead me to a hotel that's booked? Why would God bring me to a situation that doesn't have any room? Why? Because where you're trying to sleep, it's not big enough for what you're carrying. They don't have room for this vision. It's too big. God has you birthing this in the wild side, the wilderness. It's too big. Woo! That's why I love what it says. There was no room for them in the end. It didn't just say there wasn't an extra bedroom. There was no room for this. You keep trying to book your dream in a place that is not designed to hold it. Woo! You want to know why you're really uncomfortable? It's because of the favor on your life. Some relationships won't work. Why? Because of the favor on your life. Whoo! My God, it's too big. Woo! Can you say amen? What you just say? Get it out. Come on, that's the word. Dorian, that's the title, man. Get it out. It's a get it out sermon. Everybody say favor. Woo! We're going to Ric Flair. It's favor, man. It's too big. There's no room for it. And it will frustrate you because you'll start to think that I'm not in a season of favor if you're not careful. Because you're seeing like, man, everywhere I turn, it's not working out. Everywhere I turn, this door's not open, and this one seems shut, and this isn't available. And my God, what is going on? And then you start asking for favor. God said, it's favor's the reason why you're here. Woo! God will teach you how to birth a thing outside of the comfort that you're asking him for. My God. I mean, she was favored to the point to where wise men was following a star that was following Jesus. That is crazy to me. They got to Jesus by looking to the universe. You know, that's what I love about dark seasons. It's the only time you can see beyond your world. The stars are there during the day. You just can't see it in the light. As soon as things get dark, you're able to look beyond the world that you're living in. This is why God allows us dark seasons, so you can see beyond. Come on, somebody. You can see beyond. Thank God for the dark. I'm trying. I'm threeching. Woo, everybody say, favor's merited. So I'll leave you with this. I want you to get these, just lock these principles in here tonight because this is so important. Everybody say, favor is relational. In order to truly walk in favor, you got to do relationships right. That doesn't mean you got to agree with everything that everybody's saying. But that's the beauty of silence. That's the beauty of silence. You only may need 10% of what one relationship has to offer, but you better be careful with the other 90 that you don't dishonor it. Because if you dishonor the 90% that you disagree with, you won't even get the 10 that you need. You got to learn these things, man. It's relationship. It's relationship. Man, it's good teaching tonight. So, you know, it is relationships that God will use. He will cause men to give into your... God never blesses you without using people. He didn't redeem the world until he had an available womb. We have to understand, if you are bad at relationships, you will be bad at favor. You will be bad at favor. Learning how to navigate relationships you disagree with is going to be critical to the season of blessing that God wants to give you. God will use people you completely disagree with to bless you because they're walking around thinking that you guys are best friends. Why? Simply because you learned how to be silent and not try to check everything and everybody and correct everybody. You don't see yourself as their authority all the time. You know, that's why I said, when you walk into every relationship and you're doing all the correcting and all the instructing and all the teaching, man, something's wrong. There's relationships that I have, you know, pastoring, you get, man, there's 25 different relationships in here that I have with people. And all of you, I can't have the same conversation the same way. We may be able to talk about the same thing with everybody in here, but I can't talk about it the same way with everybody because of how you're built. And I've recognized that through the spirit of discernment. There's certain things I can say. I can shoot from the hip. And I can say, listen, Jabin, man, you know, blah, 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 blah. Or I can say, Sydney, blah, 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 or Tail, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can say one thing a certain way to her that I may not want to say it to Sydney because of maybe where he's at or where Jabin's at or where Jessica's at in life. And I'm sensitive to those seasons and because I have relationships with them. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So relationships are key. Little stuff. When people call you, call them back. Text them back. Everyone say, favor's going to chase you down. No, it won't. Favor does not chase you down. Favor is going to stay right at where it is until you learn how to use it. Favor ain't going nowhere. It don't even run. Favor is like a rock that God just drops in your path. And if you want it, you got to walk in the path he's called you to walk. Favor is stationary. Woo! So you got to learn what this stuff is. So everybody say relationships. Come on, say, Lord, help me with my relationships. We got to do them better, man. We got to do them better. Some of y'all need to call some people and apologize. Why? Because God may want to use that to bless you. It's not that you're, don't think of it in terms of I'm only saying this because I want the blessings. No, no. Favor is attracted to real, first of all. So we're not using favor as a manipulating agent, right? But you got to understand, relationships are key. If everybody has a problem with you, probably you are the problem. Yeah? So it's just one of these things where you got to learn relationship, you know. And I got to say, man, I've learned this the hard way. There's been some bridges over the years that I've burned in my young zeal and stupidity and whatever else I had going on that just burned bridges. But, you know, one of the things that I love about my life is that if I failed somebody in any way, I always reap grace because I give it. You reap what you sow. And so, you know, those relationships, learning them are key to favor. You will only go as far as your ability to manage relationships. How does that look, though? You want to get to a point to where you're so mature that everybody that gets around you feels like they're somebody. You want people to get in your presence and feel lighter, feel purpose. Whatever it is, you want your presence to be a ministering spirit to them. And it will attract favor. I promise you, it will attract favor. The second one is honor. Favor and honor go together all throughout Scripture, man. There's a million passages in Psalms where he talks about I'm favored and honored. Learn how to honor people. Learn how to honor people. When you are asking God for a spirit of honor, it will open up doors for you that you never could have opened up with your gift. Honoring people. Honoring people. If you're sitting down with somebody that's blessing you, if you're sitting down with somebody who's offering you wisdom that can completely change your way of thinking to give you a better life, my God, pull out a 20 bill, pay for the lunch, do something. Bless them. Why? They just gave you resources and knowledge that you did not have to get. And they spent their time, they opened up their schedule for you. They did not have to do that. Honor them. I got a friend that she leads worship down at Potter's House. And, man, I've been trying to get with Bishop Jakes. Listen, I don't care. I don't care what it is. I will bless that man. I will bring a love offering. I will cut my right leg off and limp into there and come out with some knowledge. Because why? Because I want to sit with somebody like him. I don't need help in preaching better. I need to understand how to take vision from concept to reality. And he's a proven leader. And I've seen humility. I've seen all of the things I need to see in somebody. I've seen them in Bishop. And I said, I want to sit with that man and I want to pick his brain. And I'm not going to show up and just take. I want him to be blessed. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for your time, sir, here. Not just a thank you. I've prepared. I've saved for 2 months to be able to honor you. Yeah. Yeah. Because this is how much. And listen, when you give honor, the principles that you receive from those people, it activates them. It supercharges those principles. Yeah. Why? Because you received it with thanksgiving. Some of the stuff that you guys have been taught is absolutely truth, but it ain't working in your life because you did not receive it with thanksgiving. Unfortunately, God's having to force feed you. This stuff works a whole lot better when you participate with it. I will enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Come on now. Thanksgiving is the posture that we enter anything in. Thanksgiving, not thanks receiving. Giving. You know why the Bible commands us to give first fruits? Because it's the only time, when you give first fruits, it is the only offering that demands that your trust is in the right place. Because you don't know what the second fruits are even going to come in. You're giving the first fruit. You haven't even seen if the harvest is coming in next for the second fruit. You don't know what's coming in. You're having to trust that what you gave, that there's another source coming after that. But the beauty is that when we give, we reap what we sow. There's some depth on this tonight. Remember, relationships attract favor. Honor attracts favor. Honor, well, Pat, I don't think they deserve honor. Well, honor is discerned. It's not earned. Honor is an offensive weapon that we use in the kingdom to build identity in people. I've honored a whole lot of people who do not have a deserving track record. Because honor comes from me. Amen. This is the teachings of Christ. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Whew. You just bow your heads for a second. Father, teach us favor. Help us to become a student of this thing tonight. There is so much that you want to bless us with, but we need to be intimately familiar with the principles that unlock favor. Favor requires working hard, but working hard doesn't always have favor on it. So help us to marry the two. Help us to understand favor. Help us to keep you first in all things. I'm just praying for a mantle of favor in this church. Real favor, God. I want to hear the testimonies of what you're doing in their lives in the marketplace. Father, I'm asking you right now in Jesus' name to bless us with the spirit of favor. Help us do relationships right. Help us to have a discerning spirit with relationships. Help us to understand there's power in silence. That even silence says something. Help us to govern relationships better. Not so quick to cut people off. Help us to endure. Help us to be long-suffering. Father, I thank you that you're helping us with relationships. Teach us the power of honor. The power of honor tonight. To honor somebody. That it is literally, honor is literally a tool that you use to help build identity in people. But it is also a tool, Father, that we use that will help us receive from the right posture. So I thank you, God, that you're teaching us this thing called favor. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that this gets past our ears and it really gets to our heart tonight. In Jesus' name.